everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He would almost lose his life in search for something more. It was the 60s, the drug culture, long hair, pot, LSD, and letting the good times roll. Ron would tell you he did not have a, quote, responsible bone in his body, and his bar mitzvah was more about the party than the ceremony. So how did this Jewish boy from a broken home turn successful businessman meet his Messiah? Here to share that story and more is founder and CEO of Regency Lighting, speaker, entrepreneur, mentor, coach, philanthropist, and most importantly, husband, father of three, and grandfather of eight, and my honored guest, Mr. Ron Regenstripe. Ron, welcome to Testimony.
Hi, Jensine. It's great to be with you today.
Well, it's great to have you, Ron. You and your best friend embarked on a journey to find more. You came from a broken home with two Jewish parents who worked all the time, had little time for you, God, or church. So, Ron, for part one of our two-part conversation, would you take us on the road with you as you hitchhiked across this country and the miracles along the way? And then for part two, we're going to give hope to every business owner in America that the principles of God do work, as you have successfully experienced for over 30 years. Ron, please tell us your story.
Thank you. Well, it started slowly, and I was raised in a Jewish home in a Jewish neighborhood, and where all of the people that I knew were all Jewish. I don't recall that I even had a friend who wasn't Jewish up until about the age of 12, and at that time I was sent away to a prep school where I encountered my first experiences with the non-Jewish world, and grew up in the 60s, and so during the 60s, there was a tremendous cultural revolution that I got swept up with, along with almost all of my friends, being introduced to rock music and the world of drugs, and so my childhood went from this kind of protected little Jewish neighborhood to a world now where the goal was free love and drugs and pursuing every kind of pleasure that someone could think of. Interestingly, as I look back at those years, and a particular song pops up into my head, and I think of Mick Jagger, who wrote the song the Rolling Stones sang, that I can't get no satisfaction. And so here what was being promoted was this lifestyle where you could do whatever you wanted, and you should experiment and go out and have fun. And yet, through it all, in my experience, the satisfaction never came. And so I began attending Syracuse University, spent about a year and a half at Syracuse, and my best friend approached me one day and said, you know, we're not getting much out of school. Why don't we travel out to the West Coast? And so we both did that, left our college education, and wound up in a small town in southern Oregon called Grants Pass, and invited some people to live with us. We had a group of about six, and it was kind of a communal type of lifestyle. And one day we woke up to the news that the other four of our friends were thrown into jail. They had driven their van off the side of the road, and they had over 200 pounds of marijuana. And the police arrived, and they were thrown in prison, and now it was broadcast over the airwaves, and we saw police cars driving up and down our street, and both my buddy and I felt that at any moment we were going to get arrested, became very paranoid, and interestingly decided to get out of town. And so we began a hitchhiking journey that took us, brought us all the way down into southern Mexico, almost to the Central American border. And we were both running away in fear of being arrested and also in search of a new drug that we'd not yet experienced, which was a peyote, magic mushroom, as it was called in those days. Mm. And at the beginning of our journey, interestingly, we were on three specific occasions, one after the other, were approached by strangers who talked to us about a need to have a personal relationship with our Creator, Jesus Christ, His Son, our supposed Savior and Messiah. And at this point, at age 20, I really had absolutely no interest in hearing anything that they had to say. And not only that, but I thought that these folks that were talking about this were kind of way out there. So we wound up again almost into Central America, had some horrible, horrific experiences. And when I got back to our little cabin in the woods in southern Oregon, all of a sudden I had this desire inside of me to get a hold of a Bible that these people had been telling me about. And so I went into town and looked for a Bible and got one and brought it back to my cabin.
Well, now, had you ever read or been exposed to the Bible previously? What would make you go out and want to purchase a Bible?
You know, all I could really say in answer to that question is I guess it was a part of God's plan for my life. I had gone to temple a number of times as a young person, and I had a faint recollection of scripture that was being read, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." And maybe I had repeated those statements 5, 6, 10, 20 times, but there was no connection to actually believing what I was saying. So because I was concerned about my best friend finding out that I was reading the Bible, I thought he would make fun of me, I hid it from him and began to read in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. And I couldn't put it down, and I read words that I'd never heard before, things like, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It was said of old that you shall not commit murder or be in danger of the judgment, and I say whoever is angry with his brother is in danger." Things like, it's been said, "You shall not commit adultery, and I say whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has committed adultery in his heart." I never heard things like that before in my life, and reading those verses of Scripture were so impacting. It was like nothing I had ever encountered before. And one of those experiences on our way to Mexico, I had met a man who challenged me and asked me a question of whether I had ever prayed before in my life. And unfortunately, I hadn't, but I had made him a promise that I would. And so I took a walk up into the hills behind our property and prayed a simple prayer that went something like, "God, I want to know you." And with that first prayer, I knew that God was real and that Jesus was bringing me to him.
Wow, that's tremendous. Now, I want to let the listeners know, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Ron Regenstrief, CEO and founder of Regency Lighting, a Messianic Jew who came to find his Messiah. On your journey hitchhiking, you shared with me that everyone that picked you up told you about Jesus. and that you ended up in Eureka, California, at a men's ministry home called the Lighthouse Ranch. Men that were toting Bibles under their arms and sharing the Lord with you. But there was one particular person who shared something with you that struck a chord in your heart. Can you talk about that? And then, Ron, tell us, did you start to think that maybe God had his hand on you, that he really did care with all of these events happening in your life in really a short period of time?
Yes. One of the conversations centered around a prophecy in the New Testament, or really a prediction that at some point the world was going to come to an end, and or at least the world as we know it today. And when this young man was reading this verse of scripture to me, I'd never heard anything or thought about that at any point in my life, and I think that just piqued an interest in me. It's like I want to learn a little bit more. I want to know what else is in this book. And so that probably was one of the main, motivations for me to want to get a hold of a Bible. And so as I started to read, reading things further on, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I know our time is limited, and so if I could end this conversation by saying, when I look back 40 years ago, I say that the key, to my coming to this understanding was that I had no bias, and I read the scripture with an open heart. I wanted to know who God was, and it didn't matter if my friend didn't agree, the fact that I was raised in a Jewish home didn't stop me from wanting to pursue the truth. And that's so important today, that when we are willing, the scripture says, to really listen to God's word and have an interest in who is this God that we are hoping or to know, that the scripture says we would learn the truth and the truth will set us free. And that was my experience, Jensine. I gave myself to listening to God's word. I applied what I read and began this journey, which now takes me 40 years down the road, and I don't regret one moment of that journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Ron Regenstreif, founder and CEO of Regency Lighting. We are going to hear more from Ron next week as he shares his principles for business success, God's way. Ron, thank you for being with us today. We look forward to having you back with us next week on Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. It was my pleasure.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Does God have his hand on you? Does he care? And will he be there for you when you are not even looking for him? My next guest will tell you yes, as he so beautifully shared last week in part one of our conversation with him. Ron was searching for something more, and in the process found more than he could ever have imagined. He would discover Jesus, Yeshua, his Messiah, and go on to a successful career in business with the love of his life, his three sons, and eight grandchildren. But how did one so, quote, irresponsible, to use his words, become head of one of the fastest-growing privately held companies in California today, employing over 280 people, with offices located in the U.S. and Europe, and with a steady increase in growth that shows no signs of slowing down, no matter the, quote, fiscal cliff or any other cliff? Would you please welcome back to Testimony, founder and CEO of Regency Lighting, speaker, philanthropist, entrepreneur, and our honored guest today, Mr. Ron Regenstrief. Ron, welcome back to Testimony.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Jensine.
Ron, you shared just a portion of your amazing journey last week with us on Testimony. For this segment, I would like to focus on the biblical principles you have incorporated in operating a successful business and the importance of integrity. Quote, "It is difficult to find individuals whose lives are marked by unblemished integrity, but I have found that in Ron, Dave Phillips, founder of Children's Hunger Fund. And then there is this, quote, energetic for the gospel, passionate about service, and thrilled to roll up his sleeves and give all he can to the kingdom of Christ. Joni Erickson Tata, founder of Joni and Friends, on whose board he serves." These are quite remarkable commendations, Ron. So my first question, what about integrity? And is it missing in a lot of businesses today? And if yes, why?
Yeah, it's unfortunately it is missing, Jensine, and in some ways it's sad that it is so rare to find people who understand how important it is to match up their actions with their words, which I think is probably a good enough definition for what integrity is and what integrity means. And I'm not sure why or how I learned that early on in my life. I think I learned it because of my love for God's Word. And reading it sincerely, it's hard to make a case for living any other way, quite frankly.
Well, now you have your three sons working with you in the business, and clearly you have left not only your own legacy, but one for them to hand down as well. How satisfying is that for you as a business owner and as a father?
Well, it's wonderful. It's a dream that I didn't really think would necessarily happen, but we enjoy a relationship that I think is really, really unusual. And there's no three men that I would rather spend time with than my three sons, and they're just phenomenal individuals, and I'm so proud of them, and it's a joy to be doing this together with them.
Well, and what I love about your story also is that you are actually in business with your best friend who you journeyed with on your search for Christ. He started his own business, you started your own business, and the two of you got together and founded what is known as Regency Lighting today. There's a lot of business owners out there, Ron, who are struggling, and this segment is devoted to them, to help them, to give them hope. So on that note, what advice and counsel can you offer? We've got a fiscal cliff looming. Does that affect your business?
It could, but so far it hasn't. And I think in terms of advice, I think it's rare today that people live within their means. And I'm so glad that in the beginning of especially my Christian life, we struggled and we had very little. And thankfully, we just we're appreciative of what we had, and when people ask me, did I ever think that, you know, I would have a business this size, the answer is no. Not only did I never think I would have anything like this, but never really sought for it. And so it's an unusual thing that was existing in our lives back then. But we were very content, even with the little that we had in the beginning. So maybe contentment is the key.
And that reminds me of that scripture that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. How important, Ron, is it to treat your employees with respect, reward them financially, and encourage their creativity? And have you done that?
Well, all of those things are connected and related. You can't claim to be a man of generosity or fairness if you don't treat the people closest to you very well. So it's easy to say things, it's easy to talk about honesty, but it requires a real commitment and a willingness to even lose if you have to by maintaining your honesty. And we've had to walk away numerous times from circumstances that we could have benefited tremendously by, because we're just not willing to break our word. We're just not willing to sacrifice our reputation, and we're just not willing to dishonor the Lord in any of our dealings. I often will talk to church groups or college classrooms and explain that there really, in our minds, is no difference between running a church or running a business. I see no exception in Scripture that a business should have any different values than a church should have. And so that's what we've put into practice, and that's what's worked for us.
Now, why do CEOs, or some CEOs, which you are one of, run from making the hard decisions, and how costly is that in the end to them, their business, and the people they employ?
Well, I think that can be easily summed up in the word perspective, and that depends on what someone's values are. Thankfully, Mike and I, our values were rooted in, you know, pleasing God was above and beyond any other desires, especially for any monetary gain of any kind. To sacrifice your sense of being able to stand before God with a pure heart, there's just nothing worth making that sacrifice. There's no amount of dollar, there's no car, there's no vacation, there's no anything that compares to just knowing that you have nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be afraid of, nothing that you have to hide. It just brings incredible freedom to anyone who practices that kind of a life.
Well, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on testimony, because businesses are hurting, employees are hurting, there are people out of work, they're looking for leaders today. Where are the leaders? You have a track out called Perspective that you published. What do you do with that, number one, and what does R.I.S.E. spelling out RISE mean?
Well, the track gets handed out to servers at restaurants and drive-through attendants and just people that I meet. I want to leave something with them to make them think about considering things that, unfortunately, our culture doesn't encourage. I don't think we've seen a whole lot of commercials on television or billboards encouraging us to live, you know, honest lives or humble lives. So that's what I use the track for. In terms of our acronym RISE, which we use at Regency Lighting, it stands for Relationship, Integrity, Service, and Expertise. And we combine those four principles, talk about it all the time in our training, and put it out there because we want to be held accountable to the things that we say, and welcome anyone who might think that something we're doing isn't right or isn't fair or isn't just. You pay a price to do that, but the price is we found to be very much worth it.
Well, and I also noticed that you are a philanthropist. You're on the board of Johnny and Friends and other organizations. You've also developed a product that helps the disabled. Can you talk about that in our brief moments? And then I have a couple other questions to round out our time together. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Ron Regenstrife, CEO and founder of Regency Lighting. You can learn more about Ron, his business, and his ministry, and have him come speak at one of your events by going to www.regencylighting.com. Ron, please continue.
My pleasure. Well, I have the privilege of serving on the board of Johnny and Friends, and the founder being Johnny Erickson Tata, who spent the last 47 years in a wheelchair. And one day she approached me and showed me some plans to manufacture a pediatric wheelchair. Johnny and Friends distributes wheelchairs all over the world. This last year, approximately 10,000 chairs were given for free in developing countries around the world. And so typically there's always a shortage of children's wheelchairs. And so someone had given her these plans and said to her, "Johnny, you know, you're welcome to do with it whatever you'd like." And she showed them to me and said, "We'd love to do this. We just don't have the funds." And so Mike and I had a discussion and said, let's pay for this. And a few months later, Johnny approached us and said, "Would you mind if we called it the Regency Chair?" So it's a wonderful, amazing honor. This year we'll manufacture about 1,200 of these pediatric wheelchairs, and it's a thrill. I have one sitting in my office. I'm actually looking at one right now.
Wow, that is just fantastic. Well, Ron, it has been an incredible pleasure bringing your story to the airwaves. And for those who may have missed part one of Ron's personal testimony, you can go to www.jensenebard.com to listen to that. We would love to have you come back anytime and tell us more of your story. You've succeeded in business. You've trusted God. You haven't compromised. And you've done it all with integrity, honoring your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Yeshua, your Messiah. God bless you, Ron, and thank you for all you're doing for everyone all over this world.
Thank you, Jensine.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.